Okay, today's daf is Nida daf Samach Zayin, and as we are in the last parak, as we inch closer again to the big siyum and the last parak, the end of the last parak of Maseches Nida, and also as well, of course, the beginning of Maseches Brachos in just a couple of days. As we continue, we are on Samach Vav Mabez. We're going to start with the second to last line, Amar Ravin, but just one ha'ara on what we mentioned yesterday, the last lines that we talked about was the din of Reb Zeira. Kalaroi Labila. Reb Zeira says there are various halachas that just require the potential, even though they don't require actuality. Tosas pointed out that not only is there potential required, but by some of the halachas, you require the actuality, l'chatchila. And b'di'evet, all you require is the potential. And by other halachos, all you require is the potential, even l'chatchila. That's what we said from Tosfos, on the first two wide lines of Tosfos, that when it comes to mitzvos, then there are examples of l'chatchila and b'di'evet by mitzvos. How you perform chalitza, how you perform mikra bikurim, etc. But when it comes to a matir, like tevila, there's not even a l'chatchila to have bi'as mayim. All you need is ra'i l'bi'as mayim. And you might be mechalik, you have to be mechalik, between the various cases of Roy Labila. Just one ha'ara on that sugya of Roy Labila. It's interesting that there were three ritvas in Maseches Sukkah that quotes Reb Zeira. Three ritvas that quote Reb Zeira. And all in different contexts, and all where the Gemara does not quote Reb Zeira. Number one is the ritva right at the beginning in Sukkah Dav Beis, where the Gemara there, if you remember on the Amud Aleph of Maseches Sukkah, based on Aleph, the Gemara discusses what is the svara for the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda there. Where the Tanakhama holds that a sukkah is not allowed to be above 20 amos high, the schach, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher, it's okay. So the three answers given in the Gemara. Either lo shalta ba'ena, you can't see the schach, and you have to be able to see the schach, or Reb Zeira said, interesting it's not Reb Zeira, because he's going to use Reb Zeira for a different opinion. Rabbi Zeira himself says that the sukkah has to be a protection, and if the schach is so high, then the schach would not be protecting the people inside. And Rava answers, the third answer, Basukos Teshvu Shavas Yamim, Amra Torah, Kol Shavas HaYamim, Semi Diras Keva Vashemi Diras Arai. The Torah tells us that we should have a Diras Arai, we should have a temporary dwelling on Sukkot. Above 20 Amos, the Gemara says, you can't make your walls Arai. Because right, you have to be able to hold up the high, they have to be very high, and you have to be able to hold up the roof. Ad estrim amma adam osa diroso diros arai. Up to 20 amos, you can still call that an arai dwelling. Lamala me estrim amma in adam osa diroso diros arai, el diros keva. But above 20 amos, you have to make your walls sturdy enough in order to be very tall to hold up the roof, and therefore, that's why it's possible according to the Chachamim. Asks Abaya, Amalei Abaya, but what if you make your walls out of iron? Asa mechitzas shel barzel, then that shouldn't be a sukkah, even if it's 15 amos high, not above 20. So you should say that's a diras keva. So the Gemara answer is no. Up until 20, you can make your sukkah arai. So even if you make a keva, it doesn't make a difference. Above 20 amos, you have to make a keva. What is the basis for that svara? So the Ritva quotes over there, Rabbi Zeira. It's all about the potential. If a person can build their sukkah arai, the potential is there that even if they don't, they use bechitzo shel barzel, so then it is still good enough because you have the potential for arai. That's one Ritva in sukkah on daf base. We have another Ritva in sukkah on Daf Chavtes, where the Gemara, the beginning of Lulav HaGazal, discusses the Psulim of a Lulav, and the Mishnah says, Nifridu Alav Kosher. If the leaves of the Lulav are separated, it's kosher. Nifritzu, if they're cut off, then they're possible. But Nifridu, if they're separated, then they're kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yedinami Lamala. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to be oge, you have to tie them up. The Tanakhama does not say that. Just says Nifridu Alav Kosher. So, says the Ritva right here, because you can tie it up, even if you don't tie it up, it's still kosher. It's still called one lulav, even though the leaves are separated. Why? Kid the Rebbe Zeira. Again, the Ritva here, the beginning of Lulav HaGazal. The third pair quotes the din of Rebbe Zeira. Number two. And finally, number three, the third Ritva in Sukkah that quotes Rebbe Zeira, where the Gemara does not, is the Gemara on Daf Lamed Ches, where the Gemara says on Lamed Ches Mabez, discussing the sugya of Shomer Ka'oneh, Rashi and Tosfos and Maseches Brachos all discuss what is one supposed to do when one is in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and the Chazan gets up to Kedusha. So what does one do? So Rashi says that Rashi on the bottom, Rashi says it here on the Aflam al-Chasim Abeis, Rashi says, Mikan Nilmat, the She'ini Yodelo, Likros Lolanos, Imshama, Vikivin Libo Lishmoa, Af Apishalo, Ana Yatza, Vachain, Lumis Paulim Betzibur, Vishliach Tzibur Omer Kaddish, O Yeheshve Rabba, Yishtaku Betzilasan, Vishmu Bekavana. Rashi is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. What do? We wait. We wait and we listen, and that is good enough. And Shomea, it's a big chiddush if you think about it. So it's Shomea Ka'one enough that we're Yotzei, Kedusha, Yeheshve Rabba, etc., but it's not enough of Shomea Ka'ona that it is a hafsik of talking during Shemona Esrei. Because after all, nobody's going to say that you're allowed to answer Kedusha during Shemona Esrei. Nobody's going to say that. And yet, according to Rashi, and that's what we hold, you're allowed to stop and listen. Hey, isn't Shomea Ka'ona like answering? It must not be exactly like answering. But that is Rashi. Tosva says, Rashi, what are you talking about? If you stop and listen, that's Shomea Ka'ona. So it's hafsik. So don't stop. You might as well not stop, because if you stop, it's going to cause a hefsek of the Shemona Esrei, and therefore, it's going to be a problem. So Tosfos says, just keep going. Keep going. Nothing to do. That is what Tosfos says in Sukkah and Brachas. The Ritva there in Sukkah Lamed Ches says, like Tosfos, keep going, but for a different reason. Says the Ritva, when does Shomea Ka'oneh work? Only when you would be able to say it yourself at this moment. So then, even if you don't say it, Shomea Ka'oneh could work. Only if you have the potential to say it, Kid Rebbe Zeira. Like Rebbe Zeira says, Kalaray Labila. But if you cannot say it now, you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, then Shomea Ka'oneh does not work. So that is the third Shita in the Rishonim, the Ritva, Rashi, and Tosfos in the Ritva, what exactly one does in the middle of Shemona Esrei when the Chazin gets up, in silent Shemona Esrei, if the Chazin is ahead of me and the Chazin gets up to Kedusha. So that is Rashi, Tosfos, and the Ritva. So we see three Ritvas in Sukkah, Dav Beis, Dav Chavtes, Dav Lamed Ches, where the Ritva uses this din of Rebbe Zeira to help explain halachos that come up there. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, second to last line, Amar Rebbe, Amar Ravin, Barav Ada, Amar Rebbe Yitzchak, Maisa b'Shivchaso Shal Rebbe, Shetavla v'Olsa. Story about a Shivcha of Rebbe that was Toveles, and that she came up, and Imsala Etzem, Chotez Ben Shineha, and then she found a bone between her teeth, which she thought that must have been there for a while. It was not, she didn't eat anything since she came out of the mikvah, so therefore it must have been there beforehand. So you don't need, this is exactly Rebbe Zeira, you don't need water to go into the mouth, but you need ro'i l'bi'es mayim, ro'i for the water to go between the teeth. So v'hitzricha Rebbe tefila acheres. So Rebbe required her to be tovelis again, because this was a chatitza. The chatitza, at least on a derabanan level. At least on a derabanan level, as we will have the three different levels of chatitza, Be'ez Hashem, later on today's daf. Based on this, and other sources, the Ramah quotes the Minog in Shulchan Aruch, a lot of Shulchan Aruch today, as Hashem, in Kuf Tzadik Ches, Chav Dalid, that the Minog is for women not to eat certain foods on the day or the night that they're going to the mikvah. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Tzricha Lachzal Shineha, Shlo Yehei Paim Davar Chotzeitz. She has to floss her teeth or some, make sure that she doesn't have anything stuck in between. She tavla, v'nimsa shadavar, davak bahem, losa latfila. Because if she's tavelas and she finds something stuck afterwards, so then her tefila would not work, as we have in our Gemara. V'yesh nago, says the Shulchan Aruch, shelo lechol basar, biyom lechton lebeis atfila. There are those that have the minhag of not to eat meat on the day that they go to the mikvah. V'bneishu neklas bein shinayim, yosem achal acher, because that meat goes in between the teeth more than other foods. Right? This also comes up in the sugya of waiting to milchus and fleishiks. Machlokas, Rashi, Rambam. Why exactly we have to wait many hours after fleishiks? Is it because of the shuman, because of the fatty nature of the meat? Or is it because of the meat, the basar, shedavuk, that gets stuck, bein shineha? Right? Same svar. So it gets stuck, so the Shulchan Aruch says, it's a better not to eat meat the day of. What does the day of mean? It means she's going to the mikvah that night, l'chora. Right, so it's not the halachic day of, but it means the day of that she's going to the mikvah that night. V'yavo bisha both kots v'chotzos hashinayim, and even though she could check her teeth, choshishos, maybe she's choshesha that she'll miss something, minhag yafehu. And it's a minhag yafeh of women not to eat meat the day they go to the mikvah. Haga ve'ein lo lecho bein rechitza l'tfila. The rabbi even asked she shouldn't eat at all between the rechitza, between her preparations and the tevila. Ve'ein lo lecho, that's so there's a minhag not to eat meat the day of, big shiloh. What if a woman's going to the mikvah on a Shabbos night, on a Yontif night afterwards? What if it's a 2-day Yontif? What if it's Motzi Shabbos? So generally, many times, Sudas mitzvah, yesh makom lahakel, as long as she is careful to check herself afterwards. Also, there's machlokos. Does this apply to chicken? Does this apply to chop meat? Maybe it only applies to steak-like meat because that really gets stuck between the teeth. There are different discussions in the postgame. Exactly what does the minhag encompass? But the Ramah says, further than that, but after, forget the day of, but from the preparations themselves, she shouldn't eat anything. Ve'lo lasa kolayom kodem atfila, and the day of the tefillah, she should not be osekas in anything sticky, as we will see in the Gemara today. V'chei no'agu. I think I've quoted the interesting story from Rav Mordechai Eliyahu in the past, where it wasn't during, before the preparations, but one time, there was a certain Rav, remember, that I heard the story from, that he was doing shimush with Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, and he was answering shilas that women brought, and Rav Mordechai Eliyahu told him if he answered the correct shilas, if he answered the shilas correctly. That was his shimush. So one time, he was answering a shila, and Mordechai Eliyahu overhears, it was on the phone, Mordechai Eliyahu hears, and hears this woman's voice, I guess, and he says, tell her it's from the apple. Tell her it's from the apple. Tagidla shezemena tapua. Tagidla. So this Rav didn't know what to say, but he said it. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu told him to say it. So the woman says, "Okay, toda, toda, toda." And the woman goes off the phone. So this Rav asked Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, "I don't understand. What was that? That's from the apple." So Rav Mordechai Eliyahu says, "This woman calls every single month. I don't know whether she has an OCD issue, but she calls every month, for years, it seems like. Every single month after she goes to the mikvah, she's worried, she's nervous, I found this between my teeth, I found that between my teeth." So Mordechai Eliyahu says, "I gave her a psak, that right after she goes out of the mikvah, she has to eat an apple. Right after she gets out of the mikvah, I paskin that she has to eat an apple. So that if she ever, and if she's very nervous, that she finds things between the teeth, I tell her it's from Minat Tapuach. It's Minat Tapuach! So therefore, there's no worry for, there's no issue, and she's calmer, and she'll trust me." But that was the psak. That's in terms of eating afterwards, right? Now, what we're talking about here is eating before. The bidik is not to, because of the etzem chotes bein shinecha. Weiter. Second wide line. V'yama Rava. This is Rava number 5. We have 6 Ravas, 6 statements of Rava about Inyanei Tevila, and this is number 5. V'yama Rava, second white line, Tavla v'olsa, v'nimsa leha davar chotzeit, as we just gave an example. If she's Tovela, then she comes out of the mikvah, and then she finds a dvar chatisa on her, something that's separating between her body and the water. So, im samach lechafifa tavla, eina tzricha lacha v'litpo. If she went right after the chafifa, as we said, on a daraisa level, a woman has to check herself before she goes to the mikvah. Midrabanan Ezra Hasofer was Misakein. The Gemara at the end of Perak Meruba says that she has to do chafifa, she has to do a scrubbing and a physical preparation, and not just being ma'ayin in her guf. A big discussion right here is the chafifa on that drabana level only regarding the head, or that's what, if you look at this big tosis of Im Samuch, Rabbeinu Tam assumes that it's only the head, which is the which was the din of Ezra, right in the middle of that tosis. Shapir Shabbeinu Tam, the chafifa lo shaycha el barosh, v'hach chulin the ayir b'sharei guf the leka chafifa. Right, different discussions. Rashi seems to say it's for the entire guf, but this is whatever chafifa is. So the Rava says though that if she gets up and she does not have any break between the chafifa and the tefillah, she did it one right after the other, then we can assume that this came afterwards, and in a circle, lachuv lipo, she doesn't have to do another chafifa and tefillah, because we assume this chatzisa came afterwards. V'yam somehow. V'yam lav, shichal lachuv lipo. And if not, if there was a break between the chafifa and the tefillah, then we say that she has to do chafifa and go to the mikvah again. One version. Ika da amri, another version. Im ba'oso yom shechfafa chafifa tavla. If it's the same day, meaning maybe there is a little separation that's allowed, but as long as it's the same day, ain't it tzricha lachuv v'lipo, then she doesn't have to do chafifa again and mitovelas, because it was the same day. So you assume there was no break. V'im lav tzricha lachuv v'lipo, and if not, if it wasn't the same day, then she has to be chofif mitovelas. What does the same day mean? Pashas, it might mean, you know, after nightfall, because she's going to the mikveh after nightfall. So as long as she's tovela el chofefes into the night, may be nayu, ike be nayu, lemisvach lechafifa tefillah. One difference is whether you have to be sobech lechafifa to the tefillah, According to the first opinion, yes. According to the second opinion, no. As long as it's on the same day, it's good enough. And number two, lamecha b'yamam olivitfo bilelya. Can you do chafifa during the day and go to the mikveh that night? So again, according to the first opinion, as long as it is close to each other, it's okay, even if it's on different halachic days. Mashiachin, if you say it should be on the same day, so then that would not be good. Lamaisa, we paskin that we try to do both. There's a machlokas, the tour quotes the machlokas in Kosada test between Rashi and the She'iltos, whether it's better to do chafifa by day or by night. What would be the svaras? By day, it would be better to do it because the Rishonim say because she'll be calm and she'll do it slowly because she knows she's not going to mikvah until the night. And that's why it's better to do it by yom. That's Shitas Rashi. The She'ilto says no, it's better to do it at night because that's closer to the tefillah. This Machlokas is quoted in the tour. The Taz also quotes it in on the Shulchan Aruch. But the Shulchan Aruch says in Kuf Tzadik says Siv Gimel, Chafifa Tzricha Lios Lachanchila Samach L'Tfilasa. Chafifa Lachanchila has to be as close to the tefillah as possible. The minag hakasher and the good minag, the minag hakasher, is shetaschil lachuf mibod yom v'yosekes v'chafifa shetachshach. And that's what most women do. They start if they can. They start beforehand and they continue till after it gets dark. Va'az titbal, then go to the mikvah. V'chein min hakasher shav v'shachafatisa imam masik lebeis tefillah v'tisrak sham. Even if she does all the preparations at home, she should also check herself right before she goes into the beis tefillah until she goes to the mikvah. What happens sometimes though, especially in the winter months, if a woman's not going to get to the mikvah until later, after her kids go to sleep, after her husband gets home from work, whatever the case may be, it's only later, so she's not going to be able to start beforehand. Still, the poskim say she should do something. She should do something during the day. Maybe she should just floss her teeth during the day. She should, anything that a woman can do. Cut her nails. Whatever it is to be yotzei, the shita of Rashi, so that would be better, right? Here, this Tazia quotes, the tour brings the machlokas, Rashi Shiltos, to La Rashi, muta shetia chafifa bayom, shalafnei tfilas of lobalayla, lefishim and meheris lobesa, at night she'd be rushing, and she'd want to get home, and she wouldn't do it properly. Shiltos pirish and muta shetia balayla, kadeshide samuk letfilasa, alke nagu aminag akasher, kamosh hetakan b'shulchan aruch, and that's why the minag is to start before, and continue afterwards. Okay. We continue now with Rava number 6. Amar Rava, 4 lines from the bottom, on Samach Vav Amin Beis. Amar Rava, Isha Lo Tamar Agabi Kli Cheres V'Titbol. A woman, when she goes to the mikvah, should not stand on a Kli Cheres in the mikvah. Should not stand on an earthenware Kli. Why? V'Titbol. Savar Rav Kahana Lameimar, Taima Maimishim Gzeres Merchatzos. Rav Kahana thought to say that the Svara for Rava was because of Gzera. Because a bathtub is made out of kli cheres and other materials, and if we would allow a woman to stand on a kli cheres in the beis hatfila, then maybe she might have to think, oh, standing on kli cheres, using kli cheres as a mikvah, there's merchatzos. Rashi quotes, shederek merchatzos leishev al gabi it's tevao shel adama. The Damil Kli Cheres, right? Similar stone slabs that were in the bathhouses that were similar to Kli Cheres, and were gozer that if you're allowed to stand on them, you would come to use them for a mikvah bichlal. So they bought, according to that svara, Rav Kahana says, Ha Agabi Silsa Shafer Dami, but standing on just little pieces of wood, right, logs of wood, it would be okay, Shafer Dami, because no mikvah is made out of wood, so the only gzera is because of Cheres and the like. That's what we thought the svara for Rava was. Amalei Rav Chanan mina harda, Rav Chanan though clears it up. Hasam time amai mishum debayis. No, the reason that it's a problem that she can't stand on something is because we're worried that she's scared that she's going to fall if she's standing on something, and therefore she's not going to stand properly. We'll talk about later today, Bez Hashem, how a woman is supposed to stand. She might close up some of her orifices, some of her beis hastarim, that are based on kmatim, that are supposed to be a little more open, because she's nervous, she's going to fall, and that's why she's not allowed to stand on a kli cheres. Really, she can't stand on anything. It's just an example of a kli cheres, a sultanami b'isa. So according to that, even wood would be a problem. Even the wood chunks, the wood logs would be a problem. So lamaisa, a woman's not supposed to stand on anything when she is tovelis. So a woman's not supposed to be, when she goes to the mikvah, it's supposed to be a relaxed experience, not nervous of anything, calm. That's why we're about to talk about in the Gemara about, you know what, let's wait and see it because we'll see it in the Gemara for a second. But before talking about tevila, exeres mechatzos, so the chashuke chemed here has an interesting case. It might come up. Reuven asked Shimon, can you please tovel my kli for me? right? My glass kli. Glass has to be tovel, just like metal has to be tovel. It's a misconception. People think that, oh, glass, maybe you don't, some people think you don't make a bracha on glass. Not true. Glass is derabanan. But for sure, metal might be daraisa, according to some Rishonim. But either way, you for sure make a bracha. You tovel glass, you tovel metal, we do it with a bracha. What happens if a Reuven gave Shimon a glass to tovel, and when Shimon was toveling it, he was trying to be careful, but he wasn't as careful as he should have been, and the glass broke. Maybe as he let go for a millisecond, because he wanted to make sure the water got onto that spot, it broke. Does he have to pay? So you have to pay, because hekla got cleaved, niska b'madrega shemik b'venishbar. So he says, tshuva, hagam t'shomar chinam patu ha'knevi v'aveda, he's a shomar chinam l'chora, so he's patur, nira d'binyanenu chayiv. Says Rav Zilberstein, he thinks that in this case, one would be chayiv. Right? We're talking about tefillah b'mikvah, that's what he has this here. Why? Ki ha'adam ho'lech l'hatbel kli, because anybody who's going to tovel, chayiv lishkol hetev. He metzliach b'matzav zeh, he has to figure out exactly how should he be tovel the kli. Is there a netting? Is there something that can help him out? He has to think about this. Vinkan Mor, it's not such an unusual case where somebody's having something and it was stolen from him or it was lost. Hapoteris Ashomer Chinam Mitashlam. It's not like a certain, something happened, an event happened where, wow, that's so unusual and therefore we would potter him. No! Eyeliyesh Lachayev Ashomer Chinam Mitam Adam Hamazik. Says of Zilberstein, it's Adam Hamazik. Sheikhlis Kli Me Orech Lamayim. He put the Kli in a way where it would fall out of his hands. You gotta think of this beforehand and be tovel it in a way that it won't fall out. And using two hands, and therefore in that case, he paskins that it would be, the person toveling it would have to pay. Interesting. The Gemara continues, last line. Still talking about Inyani Tevila. That's what we have a lot of today. Inyani Tevila. Just like the Inyani Tevila at the end of Masechta, at the end of Halachas of Nida, so too Inyani Tevila here are at the end of Masechta's Nida. Says the Gemara, Omer Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Isha lo titbo benamal. A woman should not be toveles in a namal. Rashi says, port. In an area where the boats come in. Malkam shasfinos nikbaos. Shemalos tifechotis. Because boats come in and they cause dirt and mud to start floating and move around. So therefore, it's a problem because if a woman goes to a mikveh here, we're worried that she's going to have mud on her when she is tovelas. And afagav dahashtaleka, the Gemara continues, even though when she comes up, we don't see anything on her, ema beridzione nafal. Maybe as she was coming up, it fell down. So therefore, we do not allow this. Rabbi Forst in his Sefer Anida has two pages and a footnote where he discourages strongly women going to a mikveh in a river, in an ocean, etc. So again, one has to weigh the options. If there's an option, for sure, one should use a mikvah and not the not an ocean or a river because of these issues of maybe there's going to be something stuck, maybe she's not going to be as comfortable and as calm like we said before. The ba'is, sometimes women are ba'is, are scared in open environments. So again, if there's a mikvah close by, why don't you try to use that? Sometimes, you know, if a woman is in a situation where it's far away, there's no mikvah close by, then ain't brera. So the ain't brera, one just has to be careful if one uses that to make sure that there are no issues of chatzitza. So ema beridioni nafal, because we're worried that even if we don't see anything there now, it could have been on there and fell down. Another issue in the public is obviously you have to try to keep it as private as possible. I mean, just that, whether it's, in terms of time, in terms of geography, it has to be as private as possible because we try to be mastir the tevila from anybody. Right? Rashi first of all says beridyoni ain't yodei lashon. Rashi says he's not sure what the word beridyoni means, but he thinks it means shichshuch. When she scratches and rubs her legs together, when she comes out of the water, maybe it's gonna fall down. But there are more quotes ready in Kuf Tzadiches that we try to make private the tevila as much as possible. Says the Rama, Yesh Shekasvu, Sheyesh Leisha Liosnua Belel Tvilasa. Women should be tzanua, very private on the night of her tefillah. V'cheinago anashim lahaster leot tefillasan. Women are no heges to be master and hide the night of her tefillah. Shlo leilich b'mehuma o b'fnei abrio. So they don't see everybody in front of them. Shlo yargishu b'mbenei adam. So people don't realize it. O misheina osakeinu. And if a woman doesn't, if a woman goes around and telling everybody, yeah, I want to mikvah tonight. Nemar aleha arur shochevim behema. Wow. Based on the Gemara in Mesechas Erevin. What does that mean? But that's the Gemara. The Yesh Nashim, Lizar, and also women should be careful because she yotzes when I'm tefillah. Shivka b'chaverta, shlifka b'tchila, davertami, ovigo chavim. She shouldn't be focused on anybody else when she gets out of the mikvah. right? No other man, no other davar tamei. The impagub advarim elu, right? If then the Rama adds, if she was pogeya with other people, maybe she should go back to the mikvah. That's not generally what we do, but generally she should go straight home to be with her husband. The Gemara in Brachas talks about Rabbi Yochanan, who used to sit outside the Sha'arei Tefillah, so that she would be able to give brachos to, not literally brachos, but metaphysically, when the women saw him, that would itself be a bracha for them, and he didn't see them, because the Gemara says he had long eyelashes. Okay, that is the Gemara. But anyway, the Rama says, we try to be master. So this is a big shaila, halakha l'maisa, if a woman wants to push off her tefillah because of privacy issues. So poskim generally try to say, we have to try to do as much as we can not to push off the tefillah. Right, tefillah b'zman mitzvah, as at least in terms of baila. So if the husband is there in town, and the husband and the wife can be together that night, so we really try not to push out the tefillah, and one is allowed to be mishanim b'nei shalom and make up stories and why to be master the tefillah. Is there any time in terms of busha? Some poskim say Shevet Alevi has a tshuva. Let's say there's a couple that's going to be honored. Is it being honored at a dinner? Not going to a dinner. Honored at a dinner. Beginning honored at a dinner, and everybody's going to notice you're not there. Okay, something like that. But otherwise, if it's the family, so one should try their best to make it to the mikvah that night. And again, sometimes it's a team effort with the husband and the wife trying to figure out exactly how to get there and keeping it private. Good, says the Gemara now. Abu the Shmuel. The father of Shmuel used to make for his daughters two things. Number one, he used to build the mikvahs during Nisan. Why? During Nisan, that's when the rainwater is flowing down from the mountains. So many of the rivers have a tremendous amount of rainwater. Rashi explains, a yesod from Maseches Mikvos, that there are two types of water sources that a woman can be tovelis in. A mikvah or a ma'ayan. A mikvah is gathered water. That's rainwater that's not collected in a kli, but a mikvah is from the word yikavu hamayim, gathered up. A mikvah water with rainwater is only mitar a person when it is not moving, what's called ashborin. It's got to be stuck somewhere. That's mikvah, that's one source. Rainwater gathered together in a way that it is not mekabel tumah. The other type of a purifying instrument is a mayan, where there is a natural spring where the water is flowing naturally. It's not dafka from the rain, even though everything ultimately is from the rain, but it isn't some type of natural spring and natural source of the water other than the rain, and that is ma'ayan, and that is metaher bizochlin, while it's moving. So a regular river, which is always moving, we assume is a ma'ayan, and therefore a woman could be tovelas in there. Mikvah requires ashborin. Avuah the Shmuel was worried that during the Nisan season, in the rivers, it was rove rainwater because of the runoff, and therefore he was worried that there would be a problem of mikvah water zochalin instead of ashborin, instead of not moving, and therefore he built them mikvahs. He built them mikvahs during Nisan. And masi b'yomi tishrei, and during Tishrei, when they did go into the river, he put mats on the floor so the mud wouldn't be chotzeitz. Masi b'yomi tishrei. Good. Rashi quotes another daya, which he argues with here, fourth to last skinny line. Some say maybe the issue here is the reason he built for his daughter's mikvahs was because he required mayim chayim. You require live water from an underground spring for a zava. And Rashi says, we don't hold that way. We only hold Mayim Chayim as either for a zav, not for a zava. Either way, that's a daya in Rashi that some Rishonim deal with that daya, but generally Rashi doesn't accept it here, and therefore we focus on the first one, the Ashvorim versus the Zochalin, the Mikvah versus the Ma'ayan. Continuing, third line. Amar Gidol Amar Rav, Natna Tavshel Lebna, Vitav Lava Alsa, if she gives a Tavshel to her son, meaning she gave supper to her son, and she was tovelas, then she went to the mikvah, and she came up, lo also la tefila. The tefila didn't count. Why? Maybe she had something from the tavshil on her hands. The Rashmi here says explicitly, obviously only means something that is sticky, that would stick on the hands, right? If the woman gives her kids noodles with a spoon, with a ladle, right, so then there's nothing on her hands. There's nothing to talk about. But the Rashmi here says, if it is something sticky, Pirish, Tafshel shall pull the chayotze bo, she nidvak heite v'chotze, something that sticks well. V'yabo bi shechafafa, ve'ina konim she nidva tafshel l'bina. And even if she was chafafas before she gave the tafshel, v'bnei shadavar matzui, she yidvak m'ena b'gufa, because it's very common that it would stick there. V'yabo bi shezem mi'uta hu umidirabanan hu, since it is only on a mi'ut of the, even though it's only on a mi'ut of the body, which again we'll see on the amid base today, kivachu matzi harbe kivadai mashvin Allah. Important line, since it's very common, we treat it like a vadai, if it's a sticky type of substance, and therefore, she would have to be toveles again. Again, generally, a woman should not have any breaks between the chafifa and the tefillah, as we said before. Amar Ami Bar Chama, Hani Rivdi de Kusilta. The scabs that come from bloodletting. So, atlas a yomi lo chaitzi. The first 3 days, it's not chotetz. Why? Because a scab, the first couple of days, is needed. It's part of the healing process. And therefore, it's bottled to the body. A person wants the scab within 3 days on his body, but there's not going to be a chatzitza. So that's separating. That's the skin. But after that, once the scab is deemed extra, it is chotetz. Lamaisa with scabs, if a woman has a scab, if there's any type of pain trying to get off the scab, then that scab is still needed. That's generally how the post-scab I look at it. If it's mostly off and it's just hanging by a little piece, then a woman should scrub it gently and try to get it off. But if there's any type of pain that's involved, for sure, that's a reflection that it is still needed and a woman is not obligated at all to try to get off a scab that will bring her pain. So again, the first couple of days is more obvious that it's required, but after that, so a woman has to check to make sure that any scab that she has on her is batel and is really needed. Amar mar ukva lifluf sheba ayin, if there is gook, G-O-O-K, right, if there's material, a substance that's coming out of the eye, lach, like what we have in the morning sometimes, lach eino chotzeitz. If it's moist, it's not chotzeitz. Yavesh chotzeitz, but if it's dry already and crusty, so then it is a chatzitza. Ematzai nikra yavesh. Mishasha maskal lirok. When is it called yavesh? When it starts to turn a little green. So then that's when you know it is dry. So again, let's say a woman has an infection in the eye and she has stuff coming out of her eye. So again, if it's soft and she does her best to wipe off the extra before she goes to the mikvah, then it is not a reason that she should not tovel. She should for sure be toveles. Just to make sure she gets off what she can. Amar Shmuel, other chatzitza issues, kechol shebesocha ayin eino chotzeitz, a type of eye shadow or eye makeup that goes in the eye, that's not a chatzitza, because that's in the eye. V'shal gabi ayin chotzeitz, but if it's outside the eye, it's on top of the eye, then it could be a chatzitza. So if a woman, that's why a woman removes all of her makeup before she goes to the mikvah. Imayu eineha parchos, but if her eyes are constantly blinking, afilu agabi eineha chotzeis, even outside it's not chotzeis. Why? Because as it's blinking, it's coming off again and again, and therefore it is not a problem of chatzitza. By the way, because of this also, that's why it's not ksiva daraisa or sovia daraisa on Shabbos, because if it's basically in the process of coming off from the moment that she puts it on, it could be that it's only sovia darabanan. Again, still aser, but still sovia darabanan. Good. Our Gemara goes now to Reish Lakish, but other Rishonim, a number of Rishonim, have another girsa of a couple of lines in the Gemara right here that we don't have. If you look at the beginning of Dimer Maskel Pascha in Tosfos, Tosfos quotes the girsa from Rabbeinu Chananel, and the girsa says, "Less hilchasa kachal hanishmaitza." We don't hold like all of these lines. Dechiyit marhani l'taharos, because all of these halachas of chatzitza only apply to taharos. Ava labayla tahora, but labayla she is tahora. All these things are details, small details that only we have to a higher standard by taharos, but not for labayla. And then it goes into kihadam reish lakish, like reish lakish says, just go in her natural way. We didn't get to Reish Lakish yet, we're about to do it. But that is what Rov Rishonim have, that lav dafka that we paskin like all of these. Most of them are quoted in Shulchan Aruch anyway. But they have that girsa. Rashi does not have that girsa. Rashi in Etshuva, which Tosfos quotes here. But again, one should be aware that there are a couple of lines that we don't have that are in the Gemaras of the Rishonim. Amar Reish Lakish. But we do have the second half of the line. Reish Lakish says, "So isha lo titvel al gedera kedei lasa." A woman should be toveles in her natural way. Derech gedei lasa. Rashi says, "What does gedei lasa mean?" Middle of the wide lines. Klomar lo tidchak zraoseh al basara. She shouldn't press her arms against her flesh. V'lo raglah. She shouldn't have her legs too tightly together. She shouldn't have her arms stuck next to her body. Like she would stand normally. Like she's walking. Like her arms and her legs usually hang down with a little separation in between. And whatever is covered in her normal stance, that no problem, no ichpatlan. She doesn't have to hold her legs wide open so that her base hakmatim between her legs opens a little bit. And she doesn't have to hold her arms out so her underarms are totally exposed. She doesn't have to do that. No, just as she normally would hold herself, so that is what's required. Kiditznan, as the Mishnah says in Negaim, the Mishnah in Negaim is describing a negatzaras, right? Totally different context. But a negatzaras is not mitamei on a person if it is in base hastarim. Same time concept, base hastarim, it's in a hidden area. It's in the underarm. Negatzaras in the underarm is not mitamei. So again, how does the Kohen check for nigei tzaras? How does he check for nigei tzaras? So does the arms have to be open? So again, the same thing. No, as normally walking or conducting themselves. Because it's not as the Mishnah says in Negaim, Ha'ish nirek ka'oder umos exesim, a man in his position of hoeing, meaning his arms are a little forward because he is holding a hoe as if he's hoeing, but they're not totally open. Umos exesim, or when he bends down and he gathers and he harvests the olives, so then also different parts of the body open up a little bit more by a man. And Isha nearest Koregas, an Isha as she, her arms would be when she is weaving, Ukemenikes Bana, or when she's a little stretched out, a little more when she's nursing. Okay, either way, these are the positions, and however much the base of storm open in those positions, that's as much that the Kohen looks at, and that's also what's required in Hilchas Nida for her Tevila. Amar Rav Amar Bar Huna. Here we go, other halachas of chatzitza. Nima achas kishura chotzetzes, shalosh einan chotzetzos. Rabba says, one hair tied on itself is knotted, so that's a chatzitza, because that's going to be tied very tightly, and it is chotzes. Shalosh einan chotzetzos. Three hairs are not, because if three hairs are tied all together, then obviously it's going to be a little looser. Then that won't be as tight, and water will be able to penetrate. Shtayim ein yodeya, but two hairs I'm not sure about. Rabbi Yochanan amar anu ein lanu ela achas. Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, only one is a problem. Two is like three, and therefore one can be makel. One can be makel. Good. There is a discussion between the Ram. Actually, let's do the next lines, and then we'll talk about it. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak says Rabbi Yitzchak, quoted in Sukkah, quoted in Erevin, and quoted right here. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah, there are three levels of halachas of chatzitza. And we hold these three levels, and it's important to know what is included in each level. D'oraisa, Dvar Torah, Rubo, Hamakbel of Chotzeitz, Rubo, Veinu Makbel of Veinu Chotzeitz. We know one of the halachas of Moshe Sinai is all shiurin are halachas of Moshe Sinai. So one of the shiurim are chatzitza. D'oraisa. In order for there to be a chatzitza d'oraisa, it has to cover most of the woman's body, and she has to be makpid on it. Meaning she has to be, you know, not happy that this covers all of her body at all times. Meaning if a woman's wearing a wetsuit, that's a chatzitza d'oraisa. If a woman's mostly covered in mud, that's a chatzitza d'oraisa. But that hardly ever comes up that it is a, that there is chatzitza d'oraisa. Well, we'll see one case that might come up. But that's d'oraisa, you need two requirements. Rubo and makpid. Number one. Number two, second level down, either or. The gazru al rubo she'eno makpid, mishum rubo hamakpid. The gazru al miyuto hamakpid, mishum rubo hamakpid. And where goes there on either or because of the d'oraisa case. That is gzera number two. That is chatzitza d'rabanan, if it is either or. So that comes up a lot. As we'll see. Even before we do the third, like, no, okay, let's just do the third level down. The gazru, v'ligzernami. Why aren't we gozer on the third level down? Be gozer on a miyut that we're not, a woman's not makbid for because of level two. So the Gemara says, no, level two is itself a gzera. He goof a gzera, but not nikam and nikzer gzera, l'gzera. That itself is a gzera, and therefore we are not makbid. But the Rama quotes, as we know, the minhag. There's the daraisa level, the drabana level, and the minhag level. The minhag is to try to remove everything, even miyut she'eno makbid. That is the minhag level. The question dealt with in the Shulchan Aruch also is, how does one define makpid? What if right now I'm not makpid, but I'm makpid sometimes? Even if I'm makpid once or twice, I have a ring on my finger. A woman is not makpid on that. She wants the ring on her finger always. So when does she take it? She takes it off only when she bakes challah. That's when she shakes off. She doesn't want to get dough in the ring. That's called makpid. if she would be makbid on it at any time, so then that is enough to be called makbid. Number one. Number two, what about if she has different behavior than everybody else in the world? In both directions. What if everybody is makbid and she's not makbid? What if everybody is not makbid and she is makbid? We are makbid in both directions. Both of those are called makbid. Says the Shulchan Aruch right at the beginning of Kuf Tzadaches. Again, that's a siman on Tefillah and Chatzitza. Tzricha shetitbol kol gufa bepamachas lefichach. Tzorach shelo yehe alea shum davar achotzis vafilu kol shehu. Even a tiny amount, that's what we try to get rid of. Vim derek b'nei adam l'famim l'hakpid alav, chotzeitz afilu im'ena makpeden salavata. If most people are makpid on it, it's chotzeitz even if she's not. O afilu ena makpeden salav la'olam, even if she's never makpid on it. Kiva shederek rov b'nei adam l'hakpid alav, because most people do. Vim hu chofa rov aguf, and if it covers most of the body, afilu ein derek b'nei adam l'hakpid, even if most people aren't makpid, ena chotzeitz. Rama ulechatchila lo titbol afilu bedvarim she'enan chotzitzin, gezeira atu dvarim hachotzitzin. Right, we try to get everything off that is an interference, an interposition, the fancy word for chatitza. We try to get rid of everything. That is the next level down, the level of minhag. So lemaisa, if you look at it, pashtus is, you'll never get, hardly ever get, an issue of a doraisa chatitza. When a rav gets a shayla after a woman gets home from the mikvah and calls up with the shayla, ah, I found this, I found that, his determining factor is going to be whether she has to go back to the mikvah or not, because generally, a rav does not want to send a woman back to the mikvah. For sure, if she was with her husband already. That's super duper. You don't want to send the woman back to the mikvah. But even before, and the woman's already home, you don't want her to schlep back. If she's still at the mikvah, then the rav might say, you know what, might as well go in again. But even if she's already dressed. But if not, we try not to. What's the determining factor? So what the rav tries to do is to figure out what level of chatzitza it is. Pashtus is not going to be a daraisa level. So the question is it a drabana level or is it the minog level? If it is the drabana level, so then, you know, the problem is we try to get her to go to the mikvah again. If it's at the minog level, not. So it's mostly going to be miut. So if the rav is going to try to get a woman to admit that she's not makbid about something. If she's not makbid about it and it's on the miut, so then we are safe and we don't have to be worried. That's really the issue that the rav tries to figure out when he is asked a shayla. Is there any time a daraisa chatzitza might come up? So there is one. There is a machlokas Rambam Raivin. Others are arriving in mikvaos, beis tesvav. Mikvaos, beis tesvav, and that is hair. How do we measure rove? How do we measure rove and miut? So, machlokas, whether you look at the entire body as one unit, or is hair independent? According to some Rishonim, hair is independent, and therefore if you have rove hair, that is a knot, that's already considered rove aguf, and that's already rove and makvah, that's a daraisa. That's a machlokas, and the Briska Rav talks about this machlokas, again, in Beis Tesvav and Mikvos, in his Sefer on the Rambam. That is an important machlokas, whether hair is considered separate or not. One other fascinating source, which I mentioned in the past, a long time ago, not recently, Rav Elchanan in the Kovetz Ha'aris, in Yevamos, discusses, what about Bizman HaZeh? Bizman HaZeh, we're makpid on things because the Rabbanan told us to be makpid on it. So if you have a miyat she'ino makpid, it should automatically be a miyat hamakpid. Because don't the Rabbanan want us to get it off? So everything should be daraisa. Every miyat she'ino makpid should be a miyat hamakpid. Because miyat she'ino makpid is on the Rabbanan level. So shabachana, shouldn't it be all be Rabbanan and there should be halacha of kpeda on all of them? So you might say kpeda because of the Rabbanan is not called a kpeda. That's one answer you could give. But he quotes his Rabbi Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says, well, you're not really makbid on everything. You're only makbid on the part that puts it over the percentage of 50%. Even drabanan. So he uses that to try to get out of the definition that it is a case of makbid. It's not really makbid. Okay. Viter. Amarav. Says the Gemara, Nida bizmana eno tovela zela balayla. Okay, now we're leaving chatitza. Now we're talking about when does the woman go to the mikvah. So on a daraisa level, the Raisa level is the difference between Nida and Zava, as we're about to see in the Gemara. A Nida cannot go to the mikvah until after 7 days. Right? She has her period whenever it is, then she counts 7 days from that day. That day is day one, and she counts 7 days. It doesn't matter whether she's seeing or not. She doesn't have Siktara after day seven. She goes to the mikvah that night. That is Nida da Oraisa. Zava da Oraisa could already go to the mikvah on day seven of Shiva Nikiyim. She cannot be with her husband until after day seven, but she can go to the mikvah already. on day 7. That's on the Daraisa level. So here we go. Amar Rav, Nida Bizmana Eina Tovelas El Balayla. A Nida Bizmana is only Tovelas Balayla. Vishalo Bizmana Tovelas Bem Biyom Bem Balayla. And if it's Shalo Bizmana, if it's after day 7, then she can go whenever she wants. Because the 7 days of Nida finished already, so she could go whenever she wants. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Bein Bizmana, Bein Shalo Bizmana, Eino Tovelas El Balayla. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it doesn't matter, even Shalo Bizmana, a Nida can only go to the mikvah at night. Even the night of day 8 and day 9 and day 10. Mishum Srach Bita. Because of Srach Bita, what does that mean? We're worried that her daughter, things might have been different then also, when the daughters might have known when the mothers were going to the mikvah. Sometimes daughters are smart enough, they can figure it out. They're perceptive enough to know it anyway. And they'll figure out that their mother's going to the mikvah, and they'll see the mother going to the mikvah during the day, and they'll think to themselves, wow, I don't know, you can go to the mikvah during the day. They'll think it's day 7, and really it's day 8 or day 9, and therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, we aser going to the mikvah during the day, even after day 7. V'yaf Rav Adar Bey, and Rav himself was choser to agree to Rabbi Yochanan. Dom Rabbi Chiyah Barashi Amar Rav, Nida, Bein Bezmane, Bein Shlom Bezmane, Eino Tovelas El Balayla, Mishum Srach Bita. And that is what we hold in Shulchan Aruch, that even if a woman is going to the mikvah after the Shiva Nikiyim, she goes to the mikvah at night because of Srach Bita. There are exceptional cases, as we're about to have. Iskin Rav Idi Benarsh, Lemitfal, Bioma, De Tzvanya, Rav Idi Inarsh, would made a takana that they could be tovel on day 8. Not on day 7. Not on day 7, but at least on day 8. Mishum Aryavasa, because there were lions, there were wild animals at night. And therefore, he allowed during the day. Rav Acha bar Yaakov b'Papunoya, Mishum Ganvi. They were dangerous people. They were Ganavim out on the street at night. Rav Yehuda b'Papadiso, Mishum Sin. It was freezing. And therefore, he allowed during the day. Rav b'Mechuzah, Mishum Abuloi. He allowed it because of Abuloi. What are they? They're either Rashi says, either they're non-Jews of the guards of the city, or some other type of issue. Either way, when there was a real tsarich, so then they moved it during the day. Right, this came up. I remember 20 years ago in the Gulf War, in the first Gulf War in 1990, 1991, when all the Scud missiles were falling, Rahman al-Islam at night. So the question was, at night, there were curfews, so when, you know, you weren't allowed to be out at night, so could you go to the mikvah during the day? Or something like this happened, I remember someone was told me that they were in a certain city in, I think it was Cincinnati, that there was a certain time when there was a curfew at night. Nobody was allowed to go out at night. So again, what about women who have to go to the mikvah? So the rabbanon have to figure out exactly a way that they can go to the mikvah, and if it means by day, on day 8 or day 9, because if it's tzarach gadol, so then yesh makom lahakel in certain cases for day 8 by day. Tosfos discusses in Mishum Srach Bita, Rabbeinu Tam holds that the kpeid is not to be tovelas at night, the kpeid is to come home at night. So even if makes it easier, according to that day, even if she's tovelas during the day, as long as she doesn't come home and see her daughter or her husband until the night, that is good enough. Other Rishonim hold no. Other Rishonim say no, it has to actually have the tevila at night. That's what the Rashbam here says, quoted in the Rush. Machlokes, the Shulchan Aruch is machmir. We try to have the tevila at night and not by day. Rav Moshe has a much discussed tshuva where he discusses what if it's a Friday night and there's nobody else to watch the kids, and the husband and the wife, or the wife has to go to the mikvah, the husband to shul. So, lemaisa, if that situation ever comes up, the wife's tevila comes before the husband's minion. The wife's tevila is a din. The husband's minion is a very, very strong suggestion, and we try to have tevila with the minion, but if the only way that the woman can go to the mikvah is if the husband does not go to minion, the husband doesn't go to minion. That's just the way it is. It's more important for the woman to go to the mikvah that night. But Rav Moshe discusses a case where he allows a woman to go to the mikvah. It was a case, I think, in the country. I don't remember. I didn't bring it again. Case in the country where the woman was going to go to the mikvah earlier, and he allowed it as long as by the time she comes home, the husband's already in shul davening. So the husband's already in shul davening, and they don't see each other, and he's not coming back until nighttime anyway because he's in the middle of davening. He allowed them to have that set up, and not all poskim agree to this. That was a tshuva that Rav Moshe had, also trying to allow them to be able to go to the mikveh that night, because otherwise they wouldn't have been able to go that night. I think he also it was a case where the husband came up for the weekend, and there was no other night that would have been possible. Okay. Just parenthetically, it's the husband's responsibility to make sure that he's around Leil Tefillah and do whatever he can to make it comfortable and benachat for the woman to go to the mikvah that night. Good. The Beis Shav Dov are interesting. The Netziv has a tshuva in Chelek Beis and Mem Dalid. If there was a woman who was the Ashira in the town, And she said, if you don't let me go to the mikvah by day, I'm going to close the mikvah, I'm not going to pay for the workers, v'chulu, v'chulu. 150 years ago, 200 years ago, the Nitziv has this tshuva. So the Meshav Davar said that that was a tshuva, Rav Zilberstein had that. He quoted the Meshav Davar. The Meshav Davar here in Beis Mamdalet, the case is where a woman who's basically not so firm, and she comes to the mikvah, she never goes to the mikvah, and she says, I'll go if you let me go by day. But not by night. I don't want to go at night, I'll go by day. So if there is a woman that is only offering to go by day, would we allow her? That's a serious shiloh. Then it's Siv's case was that he said, well, other women know about it already. So if I allow this woman, then other women are going to want to do it, and therefore I don't want to be put together, so he did not allow the woman to do it. But let's say if there was a case that would be totally private, you know, maybe we would allow. Better for the woman to do this than not to go to the mikvah, right? Similar to the tshuva of the Achiezer, where the Achiezer allowed women b'inyan manicure. And he has the tshuva in the 1940s, where women had long nails and they wanted to go to the mikvah. So the Achiezer allowed it, even though the minhag, the Shulchan Aruch is quoted as saying that we try women cut their nails short before they go to the mikvah, but these women weren't going to go to the mikvah if you made them cut their nails. So as long as they cleaned under their longer nails, which were manicured, we would allow them to go to the mikvah in certain cases. That's the shoe of the Achiezer. Good. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Papa L'Rava, Ula Abaya, Michdi, Ha'idna Kulu Savik Zavo Shavin Rabbanan, Bizman Azeh, all women have the status of Zava, like we had Reb Zera yesterday, Chumrah Reb Zera, Litzvelinu B'Yamama D'Shvia, so why don't we allow them to go to the mikvah in the middle of day 7, right, because after all they're Zavas, they're not Nidas. Mishun Reb Shimon, because of Reb Shimon, Da'atanya, Achar Titar, Achar L'Kulon, Shlote Tumah Matzekas Beinehem. So the Tanakhama says, what does Achar Titar teach me? That you can't have any Hefzik during Shivan Akiyah. They have to be consecutive. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Achar titar, achar maisa titar. Rabbi Shimon says, mikvah only comes after a maisa. After a maisa. What's the maisa? So Rashi says, sviras shivanikiyim. That's the maisa. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, make your adin. She can't go to the mikvah on day 7. Aval amr chachamim, aso lasos kein shematavali day safek. Chachamim say, not only is it a suggestion of Reb Shimon, but it's usur to go to the mikvah on day 7, because what happens if she has a re'iyah later on day 7, and she was ready with her husband after the tefillahs? Therefore, we don't allow any tefillahs on day 7. Amar Rav Huna, continuing, Isha chofefes be'echad b'shabbos. Now we're talking about what we started off with today, the chafifa and the tefillah. So, Amar Rav Huna, Isha chofefes be'echad b'shabbos v'tefillahs b'shlish b'shabbos. Rav Huna says, you're allowed to separate the chafifa and the tefillah by Sunday and Thursday. Sunday and Tuesday. Why? Because after all, we have a precedent. A woman does her preparations on Friday when she goes to the mikvah on Motzi Shabbos. If she wants to do some chafifa to be Yotzei Bayom, like Rashi said. So therefore, the same thing during the week. And the Tanakhama holds, Rav Huna holds, that we're done in Efshar Misha'i Efshar. Because on the Shabbos case, it's impossible and it works, so too, we would allow it even during the week. Isha Chofeves, the same thing. Next extension. Isha Chofeves Be'echad B'Shabbos V'Tavals B'Revi B'Shabbos, Sunday to Wednesday. Shekain Isha Chofeves Be'erav Shabbos V'Tavals B'Mosa Yantif, Shekholi Azachar Shabbos. Because Friday to Mosa Yantif works. And third, Isha Chofeves Be'echad B'Shabbos V'Tavals B'Chamishi B'Shabbos, even Sunday to Thursday. Why? Shekain Isha Chofeves Be'erav Shabbos V'Tavals B'Mosa Shnei Yavim Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah, Shekholi Azachar Shabbos. So Rav Huna holds, you have all these flexibilities, because if it's allowed in the EFSHAR case, it's allowed in the EFSHAR case. Rav Chisda Amar, no. Kulu Amrinan, Shekein Lo Amrinan. Rav Chisda says, in the impossible cases, we would allow it. But not in the cases that are possible. Hecha de EFSHAR, EFSHAR. Hecha de lo EFSHAR. Where it's impossible, we don't allow it. Rav Yemar has a third opinion. Rav Yemar Amar, Afila Shekein Nami Amrinan. No, we would say the Shekein cases, Levar, meaning we would allow a woman on the Shabbos or on the Shabbos Yontif to separate Levar Me'isha Chofeves Be'echad B'Shabbos V'Tavals B'Chamishi B'Shabbos. We would not allow that. Why? Dilamosi Shnei Yom Tovim Shrosh Hashanah Shalachar Shabbos Lesa. You would never have such a separation. You know why? De'efshet Chofeves B'Laila V'Tavals B'Laila. We would make the woman, if Rosh Hashanah is Sunday, Monday, we would make the woman do the chafifa already on Monday night. We wouldn't allow her to separate it so much, so surely in the case of Efshar, we wouldn't allow it. And Darsh Mareimar, Meimar ends off, Hilchas like Rav Chisda, Ukedimitaris Rav Yemar. We are like Rav Chisda, meaning all the cases during the week, we don't allow the separation, and like Rav Yemar said, that even by Rosh Hashanah, we would not allow that separation. Okay, this is in terms of chafifa, separating the chafifa and the tefillah. And remember, there were different levels of the Rabbanan and the Daraisa. So the Ramban notes on yesterday's daf, that we're only makel with separating with chafifa, the iyun haguf, to just looking at the body, that she has to do right beforehand. There's no malacha there. And therefore she could do it right before she goes in. That we don't allow any separation. Okay, we'll stop here. Baruch Hashem, we'll continue as we move on. We'll continue, Baruch Hashem. This is Friday's daf, but again, coming up is the last week we're getting into of Maseches Nida and Shas Bavli for this round.